This is the new TC Pride Podcast, episode 22, part one of our four-part series on transgender equity issues. Twin Cities Pride Podcast on location at the Trans Equity event with Congressman Keith Ellison, and I am here with
Shaden Gonzalez.
And you were one of the panel members tonight, is that right?
Yes. I spoke specifically on youth issues with one of the young folks that I work with. So one of the major issues that trans youth experience are adults speaking for them. So I'm going to try to be mindful as I say anything that I'm going to say right now. Trans youth experience a higher instance of homelessness, a higher instance of suicide in comparison to even LGBTQ youth. And in addition to that, there are very few physical spaces where young folks have access to being with each other and also access to power, specifically in the Twin Cities. Trans youth are often invisibilized. And when I say invisibilized, part of what I'm speaking about is ageism. So folks not being heard or seen because of their age. And also that over the years, the trans experience continues to change. So how people experience and talk about their gender even now is different than even what it was 5, 6, 7 years ago.
And on that, you had also mentioned a couple of times about how maybe part of one of the issues is that adults are often speaking on behalf of trans youth. So my question to you is, you know, how important are adult-led versus youth-led efforts in pursuing equity for trans youth?
So I think they are of equal of importance in very different ways. So there are moments where adults can really hold space for young folks to work through things, to grow into the areas that they would like to be growing and seeing themselves. And also there are moments where we need to step back and listen to what trans youth are needing, what trans youth are wanting, and figuring out ways and listening to how we can support the development of not only the trans experience, but their whole life experience as a person.
So there was a lot of talk about, you know, creating awareness about the community in general to people outside of the community. So cisgender people, which was some of the terminology that was kind of clarified tonight. So what can allies do, or people that maybe don't have as much interaction with the trans community, maybe on a daily basis or much experience interacting with people from the trans community? What are some things that allies or cisgender people can do to sort of advance trans equity?
The top three things I can think of that cisgender allies could do is learn more about trans and gender nonconforming folks, not on the backs of trans and gender nonconforming folks, so learning on your own. Two, as you learn, advocating for trans folks, so interrupting trans misogyny and transphobia as it happens with other cis folks. And then three, something that I think is really important, especially if we're thinking about identity as intersectional. When I say intersectional, I mean not just trans, but people having full identities, so people's race, gender, class, all wrapped in one. The most important thing for me is, like, get your people. So when I say that, I mean cisgender folks really just, like, calling each other out, educating each other, and not getting others to do that for them. So not getting trans people to do it and not getting trans people to educate for them.
And for people that aren't familiar with your organization, Reclaim, right? Can you just speak a little bit about what they do and how people can find out more about that organization?
Definitely. So Reclaim is a nonprofit organization in the Twin Cities, specifically in St. Paul, but we serve the Twin Cities and the surrounding metro area. And we increase access to mental health support and wellness at the intersections of racial and gender justice. We specifically work with queer and trans youth, 13 to 25. And you can find out more about us at reclaim.care, C-A-R-E.
Twin Cities Pride Podcast on location at the Trans Equity event with Congressman Keith Ellison. And I'm here with an attendee at the event tonight. What's your name and where are you from, please?
My name is Keo. I'm from Brooklyn Center. I came here because there's a lot of issues within our community that need a lot of assistance and also help from not only our government, but a lot of regulations as well.
And there was a lot of talk tonight about prioritizing issues and creating actionable items in pursuing trans equity. Which issues would you like to see prioritized in pursuing trans equity going forward?
Well, there are three main ones that are actually quite relevant. Healthcare is a huge issue as far as gathering information about it, because a lot of it's usually scattered, and it'd be great if, like, all of the information, whether it's pharmaceutical stuff, references, doctors, surgeries, all of that, even like basic stuff, like places to go to where you can not only feel safe, but also feel like you're included as far as being an actual person rather than somebody who can be sidestepped or kind of ignored in a sense. Like, per se, you go to a dentist or to the doctor and they have no idea, like, what you need. And then not only does it make their jobs harder for their profession, but also for the people in need. So it's a huge issue. Same thing with housing as well. There's a huge population of people who are homeless who are also trans and or LGBTQ individuals in our community that need help. And openly having places like in different states and different areas of the U.S. openly discriminate against us is not only a violation of our rights, but is also almost like a personal attack in a sense. I mean, we can go back to, like, as far as even with North Carolina with the bathroom issue. I mean, if I want to make a quick bullet point reference for someone to understand, like, the similarity of how history repeats itself, we already had a separated segregation back in the past with racial stuff, with whites and blacks using different bathrooms, and they're basically going over a very similar kind of concept with trans folk using the bathroom, where, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, I've used bathrooms myself, and I don't have any issues for the most part. Some may have, like, a weird look, but then go about their own way. So, and from also what I've noticed, even through it before I even decided to transition and whatnot, is that you go to the bathroom, and you shouldn't really know what somebody has, per se, unless if you're doing something wrong in the first place, which is already illegal, so there really shouldn't be an issue, honestly.
Well, thank you very much for sharing. And is there anything else you'd like to contribute to the discussion?
It would be great to have more seminars and or areas where you have basically meetings like these more often and or more openly broadcasted, I guess. Like, the way I found out this was actually through within the community and through Facebook. And it'd be great to have more of a wider spectrum for people who don't have maybe like internet access to hear of these things, so they can basically be notified and help out as well.
All right, well, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
TC Pride Podcast. We are on location at the Mankato Pride Festival. And I'm actually here with Dylan, who was a panelist at the recent transgender equity, it was like a forum, a community forum, with Representative Keith Ellison. And so I'm catching up to you now, and I wanted to ask you about that forum, why you feel that it's so important to have events like that, and maybe some takeaways that you had from the conversation.
Yeah, it was one thing that I always enjoy about getting to have forums like that is that Congressman Ellison always does such a good job of reaching back to all the different segments of the community that he represents. And he really is deeply invested in making sure that he is, doing work that advances everyone in across the, you know, Minneapolis community. And I think that that forum in particular was really interesting to me because it gave me the opportunity and gave RHI the opportunity to connect with people to get their ideas for advancing specifically transgender equity around health. And so I think it's always important to have those sorts of events where our elected officials can come and directly hear from trans people, from LGBT people about what is needed to improve our lives. And Congressman Ellison is just so responsive to his constituents that it's really exciting that he reaches out to community.
And how can people find out about more about the Rainbow Health Initiative?
Yeah, we are at rainbowhealth.org. We are working on our first LGBTQ health conference. It's going to be called the Opportunity Conference. So opportunityconference.org, and that's going to be coming up in February of 2017. So I think this is the next big thing from RHI.
That's right. Actually, I think I'm on your like mailing. I saw something on Facebook. You're looking for like presenters, right? So can you talk a little bit about that?
Right. So the conference is kind of geared towards providers, healthcare providers, health and human services providers. So we're really looking for presenters and workshops that will help people better serve LGBTQ folks, across the range of health and human services. So whether that's, you know, clinical best practices or, you know, more of sort of the like LGBTQ 101 policy practices, or sharing like data or research for people who have done research on LGBTQ folks that want to share that with health and human services providers. This would be a really great venue for that.
Well, thank you very much for your time, and Enjoy the rest of the day.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. Thank you.
Twin Cities Pride Podcast. We are on location at the Trans Equity event with Congressman Keith Ellison. And sorry, I just have a couple questions for you. So you had talked about in your presentation about the trans community being under a lot of pressure lately and facing some challenges disproportionate to the rest of the community. What are some of these challenges that you think people should be aware of?
Well, the pressures now have to do with the political cycle that we're in. Some politicians think that they can get more votes by scapegoating and persecuting the transgender community, particularly over the whole bathroom issue. We've seen this crop up in Houston and in Charlotte and probably other communities. There's been political rhetoric all over the country. And, of course, this makes members of the community feel alienated, isolated, and it even can green light bullying and even worse. We've seen 19 trans people killed. So we know that when this nasty political rhetoric spikes, it may well have real life consequences. And of course, I'm very concerned about that. But then there's a lot of other stuff that's not as dramatic as the political cycle that we're in. It's just the daily, you know, discrimination on the job, discrimination getting health care, discrimination, you know, in a whole employment, and just a range of things that transgendered people just have to fight through. And it's wrong. It's discrimination. But like I said, the stopping discrimination is the low bar. The real goal is social acceptance and inclusion. And it's also important to understand that transgender people are coming all kind of, you know, all kind of ways. They're black, they're white, they're Latino, they're Asian, they're young people, they're kids. Some are kids, very young. Some are people who have quite a bit of life experience. We've got to be an inclusive community. If we believe that, you know, that all people are created equal and are endowed with certain unalienable rights, amongst them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then we have to make sure that there is a good space for people in the transgender community as we do other people in our community.
Thank you, sir. And just one more quick question, if I can, please. You had spoken about the current political landscape and political cycle.
Right.
How important are elections and the greater political landscape to issues affecting the transgender community?
Well, elections have consequences, right? I would say this, that as we're in this political cycle, it is absolutely essential that members of the trans community are registered to vote and express themselves at the polls, because for sure the bigots will be voting and at the polls. And if you don't get out there and vote, what you're literally doing is handing somebody the power to discriminate against you, the power to put someone in office who will make laws, rules, ordinances that you don't like and are not good. So I am urging people to get out to vote, to register now, to make sure that you bring someone to the polls. And then, you know, if people say they don't want to go because the system's corrupt or whatever, just tell them that, look, not voting is not protesting. It is surrendering. It is giving in to the negative status quo. So if you want to do something bold, brave, and courageous, get up there and vote.
Thank you very much for your time tonight, Congressman.
The TC Pride Podcast has been a production of Podletter Media and Twin Cities Pride. Subscribe now on iTunes or Google Play and submit your first Pride story at myfirstpride.org.